This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Thursday, March 6th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And well, in case you don't know, the big signing did indeed happen yesterday as Zach Bond agrees to a 3-year deal with the Eagles. Zach Bond got paid to the tune of $34 million guaranteed, locking him up for the next at least 2 years, but a 3-year contract, and bringing back what was arguably the Eagles' best defensive player last year. So that is, of course, the big news for your Thursday morning in case, you know, you've been doing other things with your life and thought, let me check out Go Birds Daily to see what's new. That's what's new. Zach Bond, a new member or a new contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. But I will say yesterday, I did a long emergency pod on the signing, the contract, what it means for the Eagles, what it means for Zach Bond, what I think of the contract itself, how it impacts their cap space. So that is in your feed just below this one. It should actually be right underneath this one. So if you want to hear more about Zach Bond, go ahead, listen to that emergency pod, and hopefully you're excited they re-signed him, because I know he was a free agent that fans really wanted back. But today we're going to get into other odds and ends that happened with the Eagles on Wednesday, and then we're going to continue our look at free agents that are available and take a look at 8 cornerbacks that I think make sense for the Eagles to target. Obviously, we did linebackers yesterday, and they went and signed Zach Bond, so who knows? Maybe Isaiah Rodgers gets signed later today. But first, let's start. We got an injury report. Been a while since we did an injury report. Feels like a regular in-season thing, but we do have an injury report as, according to Derek Gunn, Brandon Graham tore his tricep in the Eagles' Super Bowl win over the Kansas City Chiefs. D-Gunn, a goat when it comes to Eagles reporting. So definitely noteworthy. Now, I feel like it's kind of been known that this happened in a way. Like, so Brandon was at the Sixers game a few weeks ago and a huge kind of cast on his arm. And when I was in the locker room after the Super Bowl, I swear I heard him say he tore his tricep, but at the time Jeffrey Lurie was talking and I just got mixed up in things. But there it is. Torn tricep for Brandon Graham, the same tricep that he tore obviously during the season. And shout out to D-Gunn for the report. In terms of the Eagles and how this impacts, first of all, Brandon, you know, he does now enter free agency with a torn tricep. I don't think it would really hurt him a ton in free agency. I know people will point to like his body breaking down, but it really is the same injury. He came back earlier than he should have. I don't know how much it'll really ding him as a free agent if he decides to test the market. I think he could very well just retire, but I also wonder if this will delay his decision. You know, maybe he waits to see how he feels afterwards. The Eagles wait to see how the draft goes. The Eagles wait to see who else they acquire. And then maybe Brandon sees how he's feeling in like June, July, and decides there. But I still lean towards Brandon not playing next year. And the torn tricep, you know, shout out to him for playing in the Super Bowl. What an awesome way to end his career. Obviously, he has to do the rehab for the tricep now. But having talked to Brandon throughout the rehab that he went through last time, I don't think he viewed it as a super hard or, you know, like laborious rehab. And that's why I think he was so willing to come back and play, because the thought of a re-injury, I don't think, was super concerning to him. So shout out to Brandon Graham for playing in the Super Bowl with a torn tricep, much like Nolan Smith did playing in the Super Bowl with a torn tricep. I'm not going to lie, it makes me wonder how much a torn tricep really hurts. But these guys are also way tougher than me, so maybe that's why. I feel like if I tore my tricep, it would probably take me a full year to get back to working out, and I would probably talk about it nonstop. So I'm sure it does hurt and it sucks, but rough year for the torn tricep. Definitely not the impact injury maybe it once thought it was. All right, so let's get into some of the news and notes from the day. And I would say there was, you know, a few big things, but the biggest was probably Darius Slay. So as we all know, Darius Slay going to be released by the team. It seems like it's going to be a post-June 1st release, but Slay will be able to test free agency when it begins next week. So Slay was on FS1 with Emmanuel Acho, LeSean McCoy, their show. I believe it's called The Facility now. And he was on talking about you know, the fact he was released, and he was asked, about the idea of coming back to Philadelphia. And here's what Darius Slay had to say.
Hey, all things being equal, because I want to hear it. I want to hear it here first. The money's equal. Everything is equal. Where does Darius Slay want to play next year?
Oh, the money's equal and everything is equal. It's Philly for sure. You know, it could be whatever. You know what I'm saying? As long as the money's nice. If Philly doing what I want to do, we in Philly again. It's my first time actually seeing the free agent market, if I ever get to it. If I don't get to it, but I never been a free agent before, so I don't even know how I really got down work, honestly.
So here are my thoughts, as I've kind of already given, but here are my thoughts on Darius Slay returning to Philadelphia. I do think that the Eagles would probably like Darius Slay back. And I definitely think Darius Slay would like to come back to Philadelphia and keep playing. Why would he want to leave? He lives here. It's a fun team to play for. He's already familiar with everybody. Like, makes sense for him to want to come back. I definitely, definitely think if the Eagles offer Darius Slay an opportunity to come back, he will come back. And I definitely think that, all things being equal, like he says there, he will get paid. If the money is equal, he would pick the Eagles without question. In fact, I think he'd probably take less money to play for the Eagles. The question is whether the Eagles are going to offer him a chance to come back. And that's what I'm less sure about. On the field, I don't really think it makes sense. Like, we're going to talk about some of the cornerbacks that are available in free agency. And to be honest, like, it's not a great class. Darius Slay is probably the best corner. Well, he's probably the best corner available, especially when you take into account money. But among, like, even the top-end free agents, I don't think there's any great cornerback in this class. So I think Slay will have interest. But also, like, they'll give Kelee Ringo a shot. They'll try to re-sign Isaiah Rodgers. I just think it's a good time to turn the page from Darius Slay. I think for him, he gets to leave as a champion. For the Eagles, they get to move to a younger secondary. But another interesting part of Darius Slay coming back also happened on Thursday. Now, this is a little, like, way too online-ish. If you're a big Twitter person, you will have known about this. But if you're someone that just lives a normal life, goes about being happy, and doesn't really check Twitter, get ready to take a deep dive into what Twitter was like on Thursday. So, as I said, Darius Slay, I don't believe this was on The Facility. I believe this was just on a podcast of his. But Darius Slay was talking about, you know, him leaving and the leadership void. And he did say one player that he thinks will step up. So here's Darius Slay on what I believe is just his podcast or shooting a video talking about Reed Blankenship.
Piece about that? Yes, I do, because I do got a great leadership role in that secondary room. But I'm going to be surprised if Reed and them guys, like Reed, can, you know, advance these guys. Reed being around me and a lot of other veterans that have been here before. And I'm sure he could lead that group the right way, because that's who I feel will be leading the group, is if we're finding in that building, is Reed Blankenship, you know, because he's a great leader. You know what I'm saying? He is a great damn leader. If they bring another veteran in that's already been playing a lot, I could see them coming in being a leader as well. But for sure, if I'm not in that room, Reed Blankenship, you know, will be a great, tremendous leader, you know, a great one. And, you know, I'm going to miss it, you know.
So first, just unrelated to the next drama that's about to happen, good for Reed Blankenship. Like, good for Reed that he gets that shout out for Darius Slay. Reed has gone from an undrafted player on the team to a mainstay in the secondary, a big part of what they do. He has 1 year left on his deal, so you wonder if he gets a contract extension. But yeah, so Reed Blankenship, apparently a great leader, and it's not crazy. Like, I'm around him. He seems like he's a good guy. He's liked by his teammates. He's been here for a while. So Darius Slay, impressed by Reed Blankenship, the leader, saying he believes Reed Blankenship will lead them if he's not there. But here's where the messy Bravo Real Housewife drama comes in. So I will say we don't know for sure if this is who Chauncey is talking about. But shortly after, I think this clip went viral, I'm pretty sure, Chauncey sent out some tweets. So first, and let me pull these up because everyone's favorite website went away from them. First, Chauncey Gardner Johnson tweets, "The slick sneak dissing is crazy." Then he tweets, "You would think feelings would be mutual after a great season, but ... Twin, keep that S word," which I don't really think is a curse word, but whatever. "Keep that solid." So at this point, I'll be honest, I thought he was talking about the fact Saquon got paid. Like, you would think the feeling would be mutual after a great season, the dissing of paying Saquon and not him. So that was my initial thought. I was wrong, or at least, yeah, I was wrong, because Chauncey then follows up with another tweet with a gif of him doing the B to A celebration, the belt to you know what. "There is nothing about our team. Trust, we good," and an Eagles emoji. So that's good. Whatever. Then you're like, well, who's he talking about? Who did the dissing? Then he tweets, well, so someone, actually, good friend of mine, Chase Sr., tweets, "Eagles should redo Chauncey's contract." Thank God he didn't retweet me or quote tweet me. And then Chauncey quote tweets out and puts, "This has zero to do with the contract. Please stop spreading fake news." And that's it. Then after that, he kind of just like retweeted about Zach Bond being back. Seems very excited. So we're just guessing at this point, just to be clear, just guessing about what he could mean. But the timing is interesting, considering Slay says Reed's a great leader, and then Chauncey tweets out about someone sneak dissing him and he was hoping the feelings would be mutual. And if you remember, earlier in the year, there was that bit of a kerfuffle where like Slay said something and Chauncey tweeted about it and deleted it or something like that. And then Chauncey did say they were good afterwards, him and Slay said that they were good. But just a little interesting. Maybe it's not about Slay. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's about somebody else in his life that is dissing him. Hopefully nobody's dissing him. He's a Super Bowl champion. But just interesting timing. And I think a lot of the speculation online was that this was about Slay. So let's just go down a hypothetical road where it is, where he is upset Slay is presumably dissing him. You do wonder if the Eagles, you know, if you take that into consideration of bringing him back. If maybe there is bad blood between CJ and Slay, or maybe they just annoy each other, who knows? Like, CJ GJ is definitely going to be here. And presumably, he could be here for a while. He could be here beyond this year. He could be there beyond next year. Like, he could be here for a while. Maybe if there is some issues, like, they're just thinking, you know what? Maybe Slay not coming back to the team. So that was kind of the online drama of Thursday, in case you missed it. In other news, Max Crosby, the Las Vegas Raiders big edge player, signed a massive contract, getting over $90 million guaranteed from the Raiders. And in addition to getting the $90 million guaranteed, he also got, he got a three-year, $106 million extension with $91.5 million guaranteed, making him the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. And Schefter goes on to note, Max Crosby's extension is the first of what should be a busy offseason for a group of pass rushers in line for new deals. One of those pass rushers, Myles Garrett. So, obviously, we have talked a lot about Myles Garrett on this podcast. Lots of people linking Myles Garrett to the team. I firmly believe that when, and I do believe when, Myles Garrett is traded, Andrew Berry's first call will be to Howie Roseman, considering their relationship and the fact that Howie is great at making deals. But $91.5 million guaranteed, 3 years, $106 million. It's a massive, massive payday. So when you consider the assets it would take and the money it would take, I'll just say I woke up Thursday morning feeling like the Eagles had a shot. And I will still say that I'm not going to say 0%. But if you are somebody sitting at home thinking there's a really good chance it happens or expecting it to happen, I feel like I sit here now saying don't get your hopes up. Not saying 0%, but just don't get your hopes up. I think that money combined with like the asset, and then you think about what Howie said in term at the combine in terms of how they're probably not in a place right now to hand out a big first round pick or like to hand out a high level asset and then also a contract. I would not be super hopeful about the Myles Garrett thing. And if you sense a change of tone in my voice, I would, you know, read into that what you will. I would not be super hopeful about it. So on that less some less depressing news, the Phillies, and yes, we don't often talk about the Phillies on Go Birds, but Bryce Harper was on the 94 WIP afternoon show, the premier, you know, many say baseball show when you consider Ike, Spike, and Fritz. That's some high quality baseball right there. Was on WIP yesterday. They were down in Clearwater. And Bryce talked about how the Eagles winning the Super Bowl in that parade could be motivating for him to get himself down Broad Street. So here is Bryce talking about that.
Did you watch, obviously you watched the Eagles Super Bowl. Do you feel any extra like motivation off of what they did and like seeing the parade down Broad Street and like envisioning that could be you?
Yeah, it's sick. I mean, why would you not want it? You know, anytime that you're able to win, and especially in the city of, you know, brotherly love, man, it's, I heard it's the best thing in the world. So I heard that all through my career with Jason. I mean, that's all he talked about, you know. So all those guys come back, that's what they talk about a lot, man. But also they always say just you're your own team, be your own team, go in there, do your thing. So if I didn't say I wasn't excited to hopefully do that one day, I'd be nuts, because that was pretty electric.
Yeah, I would think that was motivating when you consider how close the Phillies were. And it is crazy to think they were two games away. It's got to suck to be two games away, and now all of a sudden you're like, I don't know, 200 games away or whatever it might be. So that sucks, not to bring the mood down. But, you know, I believe Bryce when he says it. I think Bryce is very genuine in wanting to win for Philly. I think Bryce is similar to Saquon in the way that he is very aware of legacy. And I think he knows what winning would do for him. He's probably already a Hall of Famer, but if he wins one, I think he definitely is, especially if he has a good year along the way. So yeah, I'm excited for Philly season to start after the ugliness of Sixers. I am not in the like, let's be harsh on the Phillies thing. It's just not how I'm choosing to enter the season. I agree, in past years, they are not held to the same standard as the Eagles. I agree that they're getting close to the Sixers where they have lost in the postseason, but who wants to spend their summer mad at the Phillies? Not me. And if that makes me weak, whatever. That's where I'm at. Maybe that's what covering a Super Bowl and watching the Sixers absolutely implode did to me. But I can't be mad at the Phillies. At least not yet. Maybe at one point. All right. On the other side, let's talk about some of the free agent cornerbacks that the team could bring in. Like I said, not a great class, but I think it's one they'll at least explore. And certainly with Isaiah Rodgers being a free agent, it is a noteworthy class for the team. So we will do that on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsor.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy, If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Okay, so I took a dive into the cornerback class on Wednesday, and let me tell you, was not super impressed. Like, there are definitely some high level, or I shouldn't even say high level, actually. There are some cornerbacks, if you're a cornerback needy team, like, there are guys out there who will get paid. Like, Carlton Davis will get paid. Javarius Ward will get paid. I think DJ Reed is an interesting player. Only 28, like, interested in DJ Reed, but he's going to get paid. Rasul Douglas is out there. I think Rasul is an interesting player. I don't think he fits what the Eagles are looking for. I think the Eagles are not looking for a veteran guy there. If they were, they would just keep Slay. So if a player is like 31, 32, I don't think the Eagles have interest. Honestly, even like 29, 30, I think there's probably a lack of interest there. I think the Eagles want to go young at the position with Keeley. I think they want Isaiah Rodgers to compete, but I do think it would make sense to bring in another corner, because while you can have confidence in Isaiah and Keeley and feel like you want them to compete, you don't know for sure. Now, the other part of this, and when you look at what corners they could target, corner free agents are going to know Quinion's on one side, Cooper's on the other side, and when they go to nickel, Cooper's going inside. So it's just not like a ton of snaps. Like, there will be, you know, actually, I take that back. There will be a fair amount of snaps, but it's going to be tough to get on the field. Because if you are a corner that's a free agent and you're not an established guy and you're someone the Eagles want to take a chance on, you're going to have to compete like hard for that spot. Now, I do think some of these guys we're going to talk about could be good backups, good guys to take a swing on as a backup, because Quinion and Cooper, knock on wood, like, they could get hurt. Guys get hurt. So I think it's an attractive destination. You have a chance to win a ring. If you do get out there, you have a chance to be in a good defense where you'll look good and you'll make money. But winning a starting job for a corner free agent is going to be tough. So let's go into this, assuming they bring Isaiah Rodgers back and assuming they're going to give Keeley a shot. Here are some guys that I think aren't going to command a lot of money, and Spotrac backs that up when you look at their projected contract, but have a little bit of experience where there's some intriguing qualities. Maybe they could be a high-level backup, or maybe guys the Eagles could just take a flyer on, bring to training camp, and see what happens. So let's start with, and look, I'll admit, the Cowboys to Eagles pipeline does not go well for free agency, but a guy I've always been impressed by, and frankly, maybe I just like it because he spells Jordan with a U. Like, I like the word favorite with a U. I think Jordan with a U is cool. Jordan Lewis, a slot corner out of Dallas. So if they do decide they want to move Cooper to the outside full time and just keep him there, you would want a slot corner with experience. Keeley can't do it. Isaiah Rodgers doesn't have a ton of experience doing it. You know, you could bring Avante back, but I don't think that's what they want to do. So Jordan Lewis, 29 years old, so a bit on the older side, but if you're going to have him playing nickel corner and Cooper on the outside, I think you're okay with experience at nickel. Last year, he was in 16 games, started 13 of them. He had one interception, 8 pass deflections, and allowed 3 touchdowns. So why would they have interest in him? 115 games played, 10 interceptions. He has an interception at each of his last 4 seasons. And in his 8 years overall, he's picked one off in 7 of them. And I also thought this was interesting. 9.5 sacks in 8 years. So he does get sent after the quarterback from the nickel spot, and he's pretty good at it. I mean, almost 10 sacks in 8 years for a nickel corner is not nothing. Spotrac expects him to get around 2 years, $2.5 million per year. So a very cheap contract. I think if they sign Jordan Lewis, it would be a signal that they're going to keep Cooper on the outside full time. And if they decide to do that, I do think Lewis makes sense. Again, I know Cowboys don't normally come to Philadelphia and play well. You know, think about DeMarco Murray, Miles Austin. Like, I get that. But I think he's an intriguing player. And I think if they're looking for a slot corner, he makes some sense. All right, now some outside guys. So Christian Fulton, out of the Chargers, outside corner, 26 years old, had 14 starts last year, one interception, seven pass deflections, did allow six touchdowns. Now, I do think touchdowns allowed is a bit of a flawed stat for a corner. Like, we don't know all the responsibility or what went wrong, and they often look like they are to blame. But six touchdowns, that's a high number. But what do I like about him? He's only 26. He has 51 games of starting experience. That's a lot at age 26. 32 pass deflections. He's around the football a lot. Sometimes that results in touchdowns, but he's 32 pass deflections is impressive. And last year, he was ranked 47th in Pro Football Focus coverage. So that's not, you know, an elite thing. But for a corner that's 26 that might not get paid a ton, and Spotrac expects him to make around $3.5 million a year, 46 is like, you know, each team has two corners and really three corners if you think about it. That's like top half the league. So I think that that's noteworthy to me. So Christian Fulton, he's somebody, if you're going to keep Cooper on the inside full time, Christian Fulton, I think would make sense. Okay, so this one. Forgot to look his name up on how to pronounce it. I apologize for that. And I should know it because he's a former first round pick. But this guy, Jeff Okuda out of Houston, man, I know I butchered that one. 26 years old, six games, zero starts, zero interceptions, zero pass deflections, and one touchdown allowed last year. Here's the thing. He's not been good in the NFL, but former third overall pick has draft pedigree. Injuries have been a problem, so he's never really been able to get his career off the ground. I mean, look, you're a former third overall pick. You're going to get a lot of chances in the NFL. The Eagles love players with draft pedigree. He's somebody that they could bring in, get him around Christian Parker, get him around this team. Maybe he realizes the potential that made him that third overall pick, but yeah, not somebody you're bringing in to like be a starter. All right, next up, Mike Jackson out of Carolina. Again, plays on the outside, 28, so a little bit older, but 17 starts last year, two interceptions, 17 pass deflections. Man, Carolina defense thrown on quite a bit. Four touchdowns allowed. Here's what I like about Mike Jackson. He's become a starter the last 3 years. So his first few years, he didn't really play. In those 3 years, he has three interceptions and 34 pass deflections, a good number. He was really good in 2024, but then fell off. I'm sorry. He was really, really good in 2023, fell off a little bit in 2024. I think that's mostly a result of being with a bad team. When he was with Seattle in 2023, and Seattle hasn't been great recently, but Seattle's a good organization, good coaching, all that stuff. He was good in 2023. In 2024, he went to Carolina. He fell off. I think Mike Jackson at 28. Now, he is probably going to want to look at like a full-time starting job. So if you signed him, you're probably not giving Keeley much of a shot, but he's expected to get $7 million a year. If they view him as like a solid outside starting corner, $7 million's not bad. I think his market could get into like multi-year there. So you're looking at maybe $20 million on a contract. They probably won't do that, but I think he's a good starting outside corner that's available. So definitely a player to keep an eye on. Mike Hughes from Atlanta, outside corner, 28 years old, first round pick in 2018, six pass deflections last year, two touchdowns allowed. He has 87 games of experience, so has played a ton, came in the NFL at a young age. He had his best year last year. So former first round pick, didn't get off to the best start, but more experience, lots of experience. And he had his best year last year. Again, he has the draft pedigree, outside corner, veteran guy, only projected to get around $4.5 million a year. I would be interested on Mike Hughes. Okay, next up. And this is one of my favorite ones. So Nate Hobbs with the Raiders. So he is a slot corner. He plays a majority of his snaps in the slot, but he can play on the outside too. He's only 25. He had seven starts last year, one interception, five pass deflections, three touchdowns, only 25 years old. And he graded out pretty well in the limited snaps he did play last year, but he had two good years in 2021 and 2023. They weren't awesome last year, but he had really good years in 2023 and 2021. The potential's absolutely there. And I like that he lines up in the slot, but he lines up on the outside too. It was like 5-1, I would say, slot to outside ratio, but he at least has the ability to do it. And again, only 25 years old. So I'd be in on a Nate Hobbs. I think that makes sense for this team. He's only expected to get a one-year deal around $3 million. Bring him in, see if he can do it. I like it. All right, Brandon Echols from the Jets, outside corner, 27 years old. What I like about him is, and look, the Jets are a trash organization, but they do play defense well. Last year it fell apart, but overall they played defense. He has 4 years of experience playing in a good defense. Last year, he let up 2 touchdowns, but he also had 2 interceptions and 3 pass deflections. So 27 years old, good team, or take that back, good defense. Probably a tough guy. I feel like the Jets have tough guys on their defense. I'd be in on giving him a chance. And then next up, a guy we talked about, Eric Stokes, not the Stokes of Ned and Stokes, not the Bet Parks pick tracker we need. Eric Stokes of the Green Bay Packers. Now look, in the preview pod for the Eagles-Packers playoff game, I told you guys how I felt about Eric Stokes. I don't think he's that good. He's the guy I would go after if I was the opposing team. But things look different in free agency. And he's 26. He has a lot of starts for a team. A good organization in the Packers. Good size at 6'1". He was thrown into a role last year when Jaire Alexander got hurt. I would not want to hand a starting job to him. But the good thing about being the Eagles in free agency is I think you can expect to get better football play from your team than you do other teams. Like the Eagles can sit there and go, you know what? Stokes wasn't great for the Packers, but we have a better secondary and a better defense, and we think he can realize his potential there. So Eric Stokes, probably not going to cost a ton. I think would be an interesting player to bring in. So that'll do it for today's daily podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. Been loving these last few days, doing exciting emergency pods, different drama happening. It's going to be a fun next few days, and it's going to, of course, all come to fruition next Wednesday at McGurk's when we do the Birds Town Hall all day. And I will be there 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And I can't wait. So I will talk to you guys later. Until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later. Go
Birds! Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.